is still attached to materialistic activities. He was performing yajna. He was very much absorbed in performing sacrifices. Now, what is the general purpose of the sacrifices as they have been described in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas? The purpose of this sacrifice or yajna is to acquire pious activities to enjoy in the material nature. Elevation to heavenly planet. Now the question is, what is there in the heavenly planets? In the heavenly planets there is sense gratification. Like nice food, nice drink, and beautiful women. That's about all the heavenly planet can offer. But what's the use of these activities? Sense gratification does not free one from his suffering condition. In the material nature, everyone is suffering to a greater or lesser degree. Maybe in the heavenly planet, the enjoyment is more and suffering is less than here. But suffering is there also in the heavenly planets. And then ultimately what happens? One falls down from the heavenly planets. When the punya is finished, kshine punne martalokam vishanti. When the punya becomes kshina, means exhausted, then martalokam. This world is known as Martaloka or the world of death, Mrityuloka. Martaloka means Mrityuloka. And he falls in this world of birth, death, old age and disease. Everyone has to die. So, if again one has to come back to this world, then what's the point in going there? That point actually has been established in Ramayana. One sage was performing great, great austerities. And as a result of his austerities, the chariot came from heavenly planet, Swargaloka, to take him there. So when the charioteer and messenger from Swargaloka came and told him that, come, we have come here to take you to Swargaloka. So that sage asked, tell me first, what is there in Swargaloka? And they said that, oh, in Swargaloka there is so much enjoyment. You can drink somaras, a beverage that gives you full energy and vitality. So much strength. By drinking somaras you become immortal. And not only that, you feel so much strength, so much energy, so much vitality. And then there are apsaras. These apsaras, extremely beautiful. And these apsaras are always ready to give you their association. And then he asked, and then what happens? So they said, well, you enjoy that way. But while you are enjoying, your punya that you have accumulated here will be reducing. So he asked, what is the price for that? What is the purpose? Like, how do I get these facilities? To drink somaras, live in Nandankanan, have the association of apsaras. He said that you get this opportunity because of your piety, because of your pious activities. And then he says, when my pious activity becomes finished, then what happens? He says, then you have to come back here. So the sage said, if I have to come back here again, then why should I go there? What's the use of going there when I have to come back here again? So this is real wisdom. Less intelligent people think, let me go and have some fun. Let me go and have some enjoyment. Real intelligent person doesn't consider the suffering condition. They think, I'll run away from the suffering condition for time being, and then again I'll come back to the suffering condition. As it happens in the material nature, time and time again. People go for a vacation. When there's a holiday, they go on a vacation. Where do they go? Kashmir or Simla or Darjeeling or Goa. And they can go there because they have money. Those who don't have money, they can't go there. And they go there and have a lot of fun and they spend all their money. And when the money is finished, what they have to do? They have to come back again and again become engaged in the activities of making money. Then again, when they make money, they go there and again come back. So, an intelligent person will consider, what's the use of that? Like, going to Swargaloka is like something like going in a vacation to some holiday place, holiday resort, beautiful place, staying in a hotel, and go to nightclubs, drink alcohol. Here they drink, there they drink somaras, here they drink alcohol. There they associate with apsaras, here they associate with prostitutes. But what's the use? An intelligent person will consider there's no need for that. Rather, let me find, and that's what this sage asked. Like, what is the permanent set situation for this arrangement, enjoyment? Then they informed him about Vaikuntha Loka. Then he said, I'd rather go to Vaikuntha. Why heavenly planet? Why heavenly planets? Rather go to Vaikuntha. And in Vaikuntha, the advantage in Vaikuntha is jad gatva na nivartante. Swargaloka kshine punne marta lokang vishanti. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Gaunitai ki jai. Here it is Kshine Punne Marta Lokang Vishanti, but from Vaikuntha Loka, Jad Gatva Nanivartante. When one goes there, from there he doesn't have to come back to this material world. Jad Gatva Nanivartante. So that's what Narad Muni wanted to advise King Prachinavarhi. But why are you unnecessarily performing these sacrifices to acquire piety to go to heavenly planet? And look what your sons have done. Your sons have become so advanced and you are just getting stuck in this unnecessary materialistic sense gratification. Your sons have become devotees of Krishna by the mercy of Lord Shiva. And this is another thing that one must learn. To take advantage of Lord Shiva's mercy is to become a devotee of Krishna. Because Lord Shiva himself is a devotee of Krishna. When we see Lord Shiva, how do we see Lord Shiva? One way we see Lord Shiva is dancing. But what is that dance? That dance is Tandav Nritya, the dance of destruction. Lord Shiva, when Lord Shiva dances, he dances becoming wild with anger. Lord Shiva doesn't dance with joy. He dances out of anger. Like Sati, when Sati left her body, what did Lord Shiva do? Lord Shiva picked up Sati's body and started to dance. And what is that dance? That dance is the Tandava Nritya, the dance of destruction. When Lord Shiva dances, everything becomes destroyed. And because of Lord Shiva's dance, the whole world was becoming destroyed. And then what did Vishnu do? Seeing that Lord Shiva's dance, his anger is going to destroy everything. So, he released his Sudarshan Chakra. And as a result of that, Sati's body got cut into 51 pieces. And those pieces fell into different places. And one place is here also. What is the name? Harsiddhi. Which part fell? Elbow. Sati's elbow fell here. Another place is Kalighat in Calcutta. What is there in Kalighat? Thumb. Sati's thumb fell in Kalighat. Okay, so Lord Shiva when you see Lord Shiva's murtis, how do you see them? Dancing form? But is that desirable? Well, if you want destruction, okay, you can. Form is desirable. But otherwise, what Lord Shiva is doing? He's in meditation. Did you see a mala in Lord Shiva's hand? Who is Lord Shiva's name chant? Whose name Lord Shiva is chanting? He is chanting the holy name of the Lord. Therefore, the proper approach to Lord Shiva is to ask for devotion to Krishna's lotus feet. But unfortunately, less intelligent people go for material benefit. But that material benefit actually becomes the cause of their destruction. Like Brikasura, he wanted to have the boon from Lord Shiva. What boon? He would become so powerful that just by touching somebody's head with his hand, he could destroy him. And then when he got the boon, then he told Lord Shiva that, "Are you sure I can do that?" He said, "Yes, I gave you the boon, you'll be able to do that." Then he said, "Okay, then let me try it out on your head." So Lord Shiva ran for his life. And Brikasura also was running after him. Then finally, Lord Shiva approached Vishnu. "Please save me, save me." Then he said, "Okay, don't worry." And then he, Lord Vishnu, took the form of a little boy. And he stood on the way when Vrikasura was running. So he asked Vrikasura, "Hey, why are you running like this?" He says, "See, this Shiva gave me the boon that by touching somebody's head I can destroy him. And I want to try it out on him. And he is running away from me, so I am running after him." So he said, "How can anybody give any boon like that? Just to put your hand on his head and he will die. It's, you know, don't believe in what he said." Ultimately what happened? It was Krishna's Jogamaya. By his Jogamaya, Krishna made him forget. And made him touch his own head with his hands. And the result is his head cracked into 1,000 pieces. He was dead. So, oftentimes we see when one goes to approaches Lord Shiva due to his material benefit, then he ends up being destroyed himself. That's what happened to Kartavijarjun. He got 1,000 hands, the devotee of Lord Shiva, but ultimately Krishna came and straightened him out. Ravana had died at the end. Whereas Krishna's devotees get eternal life, they get immortality, they conquer death and they become elevated to the spiritual world. So the actual advice of Lord Shiva is to become a devotee of Krishna. And that's what he instructed these Prachinabarhi's sons, Prachetas. Rudra Gita, beautiful glorification of the Lord, and instructed them to become a devotee of the Lord. Meditate upon the lotus feet of the Lord to achieve the perfection. So, Narad Muni, seeing that what a great advantage these children have achieved, he considered that the father also should derive the benefit. That's another thing. When somebody becomes a devotee of the Lord, his relatives also benefit. And here is another example. Because the sons became devotees, Krishna wanted to bestow his mercy. And Krishna bestowed his mercy upon them through Narad Muni. So Narad Muni came and instructed. He knew that King Prachinabarhi won't be able to understand the actual meaning of his instruction. So he first told them a story. Less intelligent people cannot understand the philosophy or direct instruction. So they love to listen to stories. So he told them a story. The story of Puranjan. Puranjan is the spirit soul, conditioned soul. Puranjan got, and the story of Puranjan describes Puranjan while traveling through the universe. He came to a place to a city of 9 gates. And in the city of 9 gates, Puranjan was trying to enjoy. And in the city of 9 gates, he saw the queen of the city. She was so beautiful that Puranjan became attracted to her immediately. And Puranjan approached her. "Will you marry me?" And that beautiful queen said, "Yes. You are such a great hero. I'll be more than happy I'll consider my life is successful if you marry me. So Puranjan married the queen. And Puranjan started to live in the city of Nine Gates. And in the city of Nine Gates, Puranjan was having a wonderful time. And the city of Nine Gates were being protected by a serpent with five heads. And the city of Nine Gates, Puranjan had so many servants and maidservants. 10 principal servants, and then subordinate servants, so many servants and maidservants. They were always trying to fulfill Puranjan's desires. But then all of a sudden, one day there was an attack of the king of the Javanas, Javan Raj. With his soldier, he attacked. And that snake that was protecting the city was defeated. Then Puranjan, this king of Javana had a daughter, had an associate. Her name, she is the daughter of time, Kalakanya. So Kalakanya approached Puranjan. And when she embraced Puranjan, Puranjan lost all his energy. And then the Javana Raja's associates got hold of Puranjan, dragged him out of the city, that's the end of the story. End of the first part of the story. The second part of the story is the explanation. Who is Puranjan? Puranjan is a living entity in the material nature, conditioned soul. And the living entity comes to the city of Nine Gates. Which is the city of Nine Gates? The human body. What are those nine gates? Two ears, two eyes, two nostrils, one mouth, and anus and genital. How many? Nine. This body with nine gates like that is being protected by a five-hooded snake. What is that? Who is that five-hooded snake? The five-hooded snake is the five types of air. Pran, apan, saman, Vyan and Udan. They are actually making all the activities of the body to function. The functioning of the body is conducted by these five types of airs. And who is the Javana Raj? The king of death. And king of death comes with Kalakanya, the daughter of time. The daughter of time. And the daughter of time's embrace, no matter how beautiful she is, her embrace makes one lose all his energy. That is old age. Time's embrace is old age. And when one is old, he doesn't have any strength to fight. Then he is defeated by the soldiers of Javan Raj or King of Death. So through this allegorical story, King Prachinabarhisat got the message, got the instruction of Narad Muni. What is the instruction? The instruction is, try to take advantage of this situation. Do not succumb first of all, who is the queen here? The queen is intelligence. The living entity gets into the human body, and marries the intelligence who makes him entangled in this human form of life. So then finally Narad Muni is giving the, coming to the final final instruction. The final instruction is, in the previous verse, he spoke about Jnana. And in this verse, he is talking about karma. That Jnana is not going to help to achieve the ultimate goal. Karma is not going to help achieve the ultimate goal. What will help achieve the ultimate goal is devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, when a person, previous verses, it spoke about karma and jnana. This verse is speaking about devotion to the Lord. When a person is fully engaged in devotional service, he is favored by the Lord, who bestows his causeless mercy. At such a time, the awakened devotee gives up all material activities and ritualistic performance mentioned in the Vedas. When one comes to the devotional platform, then he gives up both karma aspect and jnana aspect. Karma aspect is for enjoyment in the material nature, and jnana aspect is liberation from material nature. A devotee is neither interested in enjoyment in this material nature, nor he is interested in liberation from his suffering condition in the material nature. Devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead automatically takes care of that. That's why a devotee is not interested. This has a long purport, so I just covered only a part of the purport. So tomorrow I'll continue with this verse again. Because since Srila Prabhupada wrote such a long purport, we have to understand that this verse is very important. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Okay, yeah.
Fully engaged.
Fully engaged means no other activity. Anna bhilashita sunnam. No other desire. Anna abhilasha sunnam. Anna bhilashita sunnam. Jnana karmad anabritam. Not affected by the Jnanakanda section of the Vedas or Karmakanda section of the Vedas. Anukullena Krishnanu Shilanam. Accepting whatever is favorable to serve Krishna or render devotional service to Krishna. That is Bhakti Uttama. That is pure devotion. So that is the symptom of pure devotion. In simple words, Rupa Goswami is saying, always remember Krishna and never forget Him. So that is the meaning of always being engaged in service of the Lord. Yes.
Yes.
Hello.
I heard a lecture, a free lecture, that bhakti is an activity of six senses according to me.
Bhakti is the activities of the six activities?
Including
the mind. Yes, very good. Very good point. The definition, what is definition of bhakti? Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. Rishik means senses. And Rishikesha, the Lord of the senses. Who is Rishikesha? Krishna. So, serving the Lord of the senses with the senses is bhakti. Sevanam bhakti ruchyate. Mind, the sixth sense is mind. Five senses and the sixth sense is the mind. Yeah, but you can, with the mind you can think, but with the senses, when the senses become active, then the mind is more, you see, generally mind tends to think, right? And the purpose of yoga is atha chitta vritti nirodha. The purpose of yoga is to stop the activities of the mind. Now, how does one stop the activities of the mind? Because mind is always doing so, unless when the mind is in the wakeful state, the mind is always active with one or the other senses, or in its own thoughts. When we see, the eyes are open, the object is there, but if the mind is not with the eyes, can we see? Hearing, if the mind is not there, can we hear? Tasting, if the mind is not there, can we relish the taste? So this is how the mind is either functioning through the five senses or dwelling in thoughts by itself. Now the best way to activate the mind or engage the mind is by engaging the senses in the service of Krishna. So that way the mind becomes properly engaged. Right? So that's why the devotional service is to engage the senses in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I think there are some, questions from internet. Raman Reti Das from Hyderabad. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, today is Jayananda Prabhu's disappearance day. Please tell something about this great personality. Okay, after answering the questions, I will. Is there any other question? Yes. Which language you speak? Okay. Okay. Go ahead. Speaking in Bengali, but actually, mic take to kind of shan dure rekhe bolo. Okay. Go ahead. To ki hoyeche? Okay. The question is, I get attracted to do something, I understand that I shouldn't do it, but I can't control myself. Okay, try to control. That is sangyam. Become engaged in devotional service in association of devotees. You'll become free from that tendency. Any other question? Yeah. Switch it on. Yeah.
When one engages in pure devotional service, as Prabhupada stated in the Bhagavad-gita, the Lord is awakened in one's mind. So is there any difference in the awakening of the Lord in the mind or in the heart?
Yeah, here we have to understand that awakening the Lord in the consciousness. like mind thinks, the mind is the medium of consciousness. So actually, ultimately, it is in consciousness. Otherwise, mind cannot actually understand the Lord, because mind is material. The Lord is spiritual. So, with material intelligence, material mind, we cannot conceive the Lord. So we have to understand that in our consciousness, the Lord becomes manifest. Does it answer your question? Okay, yes. Give her the mic. Yeah, when you are seeking protection from the Lord, who are you thinking about?
Myself.
Huh?
Myself.
No, because you are, you see, like this Krishna consciousness does not necessarily mean always just thinking about Krishna. There can be indirect way of thinking about Krishna. That is depending upon Krishna. And say a good example in that respect, when Arjuna is fighting the battle, is he thinking about Krishna directly? He is thinking about his enemies. He is thinking about the arrows that are coming to him to counteract those arrows. But at the back of his mind, he is depending upon Krishna. So that's why whatever jat karosi, jadasnasi. So ultimately tat kurusya madarpanam. So that is being Krishna conscious. Like for example, just consider a devotee is cooking for Krishna. He may hear the holy name at the background and so forth. Tape recorder playing and so forth. But when he is cooking, what he is thinking of? Kitna masala dalega? Namak theek hoga? Right? Had the fried been all right? So, but because what you are cooking for Krishna, it is thinking about Krishna. Because at the back of your mind, what you are thinking, whether Krishna will like it, how Krishna to taste it. Right? You are making a garland. Okay, they're pasting chandan. At the back of the mind, what is the thought? This sandalwood paste is going to be applied to Krishna. Or making garlands, how this garland is going to be, going to decorate Krishna's form. So this is how Krishna consciousness means Rishikena, as I mentioned, serving Krishna with his senses.
But when I am seeking protection,
yeah, you are thinking of Krishna when you are praying to Krishna, 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 please protect me. Right? Who are you thinking? You may be thinking about your situation at the back. Like, you see, whether Krishna will be pleased or pure devotional service, whether it is pure devotional service, just don't worry about it. Just keep on serving to the best of your ability. Whatever you are doing for Krishna, do it to the best of your ability. And leave it up to Krishna. All right. Okay, so now I'll get into, today is Jayananda Prabhu's disappearance day. Jayananda Prabhu was a very wonderful devotee who came to help Srila Prabhupada when Prabhupada was in America. When Prabhupada went to the West Coast, Jayananda Prabhu actually became a devotee of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada. And Jayananda Prabhu was a very special person. Like, although he was an engineer, but he used to drive taxi. As an engineer, he could have earned more money, but for some reason, he used to drive taxi. And whatever money he had, when he came to surrender to Srila Prabhupada, he gave all his money. He had $5,000. Saved. He gave all his money to Srila Prabhupada. Those days, $5,000 was a lot of money. And so he gave that money to Srila Prabhupada. Then, in San Francisco, they started to have the Rath Yatra. And Jayananda Prabhu, because he was an engineer, the Rath cart that you see, it was designed by Jayananda Prabhu. It was his design. That telescopic Rath cart. ISKCON Rath's specialty is, it can go up and it can go down. Because sometimes the city roads have some cables and things on top. Therefore, there was a need to bring it down. So Jayananda Prabhu saw that the full cart cannot go through the roads all the time. Therefore, he made arrangements to make the Rath carts, the dome of Rath, come down. And he was a very, very nice person, very humble and very surrendered. Like we can see like how he was, and he was very expert in engaging others in devotional service. Like when Jayananda Prabhu used to build the Rath cart, sometimes some young people used to come to watch. And what Jayananda Prabhu would do, he'd see some young man, young boy, he'd say, "Hey, can you give me some help? You see, you hold the nail and I will hit it." So he would come and hold the nail and Jayananda would hit. Then after some time, Jayananda said, "Hey, you're doing great. You're really expert. I have never seen anyone so good as you are. Now, why didn't you take the hammer and start hitting it?" So then he would say, "Wow, you are really wonderful. You're really wonderful. So carry on. You know, this is how it should go. One after another nails." And then at the end of the day, he said, "Can you come tomorrow?" And that boy would say, "Yeah." Maybe he would say, "Okay, whenever you have some free time, just come over." And the boy, by the time, became so attracted to Jayananda Prabhu that he came back. And then this way they would do it for 2-3 days. And then Jayananda Prabhu would say, "Where do you live?" "Oh, your house is so far away. Our temple is just here. Why don't you stay in the temple?" So this is how Jayananda Prabhu was so expert. Not only he himself was engaged in devotional service, he was so expert in engaging others also in devotional service. And he was so humble. Once somebody, he was the temple president also. So when somebody came and asked, "Who is the head person there in the temple. So, Jayananda Prabhu was taking the trash, the garbage, out. They say, oh, he's inside there. So the man would go and then find out that Jayananda was, then he would come to him. He said, you asked who is the head of the temple? That's why I said he's inside. You didn't come to see me, you came to see the head of the person. I am just a servant of the servant. So this is how Jayananda Prabhu was such an exemplary devotee. He was really a true saint in ISKCON. And that's why, because he built the Rath Ghat in Rath Yatra, you always, in all Rath Yatra or Rath Ghat of ISKCON, Jayananda Prabhu's picture is there. I mean, he showed that how important it is, how wonderful it is to become so submissive, to become so humble and be engaged in devotional service and engage others also. Jayananda Prabhu left his body soon before Srila Prabhupada left his body in 77. Like today is the day, the month of May, Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. And when the news came to Srila Prabhupada that Jayananda Prabhu left his body, I was in Vrindavan with Srila Prabhupada and I had the good fortune to hear that. Prabhupada said Jayananda Prabhu went back to Godhead. Jayananda Prabhu ki. Jayananda Prabhu's disappearance day celebration ki. Gaur Premanande Hari.